This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
The seller-initiated offers sometimes as the starting point for sending a bulk offer for multiple items because that gets the ball rolling. And then they're like, hey, can you add this on or add this on?
The buyer will now receive a QR code and a 6-digit code with their order confirmation email. They will present that to the seller when they go and meet to exchange the product. And all the seller has to do is through the app, they'll scan that QR code, which will generate a tracking number and will mark the item as delivered across all of our platforms.
Last week, Tuesday, I had to pull every eBay staff member and all of the staff had to go and serve food at the pantry because we didn't have enough volunteers to make it work. But thank God we've got things in place to alleviate some of the financial hardship, eBay being the main thing.
I'm Alan.
And I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 88.
Oh, only 12 more episodes to go to the big 100th.
That should be, I think, right around the second anniversary of the podcast, so it all works out. The podcast will be starting its third year, believe it or not, in the first week of August.
Yeah, was it eBay Open 2018? We launched the podcast, so that sounds about right. Yeah,
it seems like yesterday. It was actually almost two years
wow.
ago.
Wow, our little baby's all grown up.
It is, but I think I'm having a lot of fun doing this. It's been an interesting challenge to learn how to do a podcast.
Yeah, it's been fantastic learning the ropes of producing a podcast, and we just continue to get positive feedback on the community pages that we have set up for the podcast. It seems to be really helping sellers out, and that's why we do it. So fantastic. We'll keep doing it, keep listening, and here's to the next 100 or the next 88 at least.
Yeah, the next 100 years. Let me see if I've got it in me.
You can do it. Believe.
I'll try my best.
Shall we tell them who's on the guest roster for this week?
Certainly. This week we catch up with eBay seller Spencer Apland and how he's using the Send Offer to Buyers feature, also known as Seller Initiated Offer, or to the acronym INCLINED, SIO, how he's using that feature to help boost sales.
And for those who use local pickup, we talk with eBay engineer Maggie Donalds about a brand new feature that makes local pickup a more trusted transaction option.
And also joining us is eBay's 2016 Shine Grand Prize Award winner Lori Wong of Reflections of Trinity. We'll learn how Lori and her charity business is faring during this difficult time. And Lori's also going to have two of her staff members on hand to talk about a new program she started recently called the Powder Springs Entrepreneurship Program, which helps teach high school students how to start selling on eBay from a business perspective.
Fantastic. Can't wait to hear from Lori. And Griff, guess what?
Yeah.
I have an announcement to make.
All right, this isn't in the script. What are you talking about?
You know, I like to keep you on your toes.
Yeah, okay. You've piqued my interest. It's interesting. Tell me.
Let's not make this all about me. I'll tell you what we'll do.
All right.
We'll talk about it at the end of the show in what we call, in the business parlance, the outro.
Yeah, now I'm really intrigued. Can you at least give me a hint?
No. You can hang in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you're going to have to hang in there, and no fast forwarding, no cheating.
All right, okay. The quicker, I guess, we get started, the quicker I'll hear your announcements. So let's get started. For those of you who are currently using the local pickup feature, you're going to want to pay attention. Joining me now, she's a software engineer from our innovations program, Maggie Donalds. Maggie, welcome.
Thank you so much, Griff. Excited to be here.
Can you tell us what's about to be released for local pickup?
Currently, with local pickup transactions, there's no tracking information or delivery confirmation. And that can cause a lot of problems for our sellers, particularly so because we treat it as a regular eBay transaction. If you don't have tracking information, you could be potentially expose yourself to a seller defect on your account, which no seller wants. How we've overcome this problem is through the use of QR codes. The buyer will now receive a QR code and a 6-digit code with their order confirmation email. They will present that to the seller when they go and meet to exchange the product. And all the seller has to do is through the app, they'll scan that QR code, which will generate a tracking number and will mark the item as delivered across all of our platforms.
What if a seller hasn't selected local pickup as an option, but somebody is asked if they can come pick it up? Will this still work in that case?
I would hope that in the future we can solve that problem. That is a huge problem with shipping. I know that.
Yeah.
The buyer has selected shipping, but you realize that they live just down the street from you, so why not just drop it off? Dynamic shipping isn't available yet. I know that that is a big concern, though, for our sellers.
So something to look forward to.
Correct, correct. Some sort of dynamic shipping or changing shipping after the order has been confirmed. I know that that's something our sellers are looking for, right?
So in the meantime, if you're a seller and if you can imagine a case where you're willing to have somebody come by locally to pick up an item, that could be a seller mm-hmm. who sells mostly easily shippable things, but maybe they have a piece of furniture. So they're going to say local pickup as well as shipping or just local pickup. Mm-hmm. This option will then be available for the buyer.
Correct, yes. So the buyer will select local pickup when they go to purchase the item, and then this whole system will trigger after that.
Now, will the buyer have to print out the QR code, or could they can have it on their phone?
Correct. They can have it on their phone. It's also available through the app as well. They just have to go to their item page, and they'll see a button that says show pickup code, and that'll open up the QR code right there through the app. But they'll receive it in the email just in case.
Will the buyer be alerted by eBay about this so they know it exists and they can print it out or have it ready on their app?
Correct. So through the order confirmation email, it'll give you some verbiage saying, you know, contact the seller, and then when you go and meet, present this QR code to them.
We assume that all sellers in the whole world are listening to the podcast. That may be an incorrect right. assumption. So
correct.
What about sellers who may not be aware of this? Will they know
right.
that
so
there's...
Right, so not right away, right? I mean, it's an app, so it takes a while to get to everybody. But we're working closely with our customer service representatives to get, you know, some communication out to our sellers, and also through this podcast as well. This is a way for us to get the word out for this very exciting feature.
How did you know we had 1 million subscribers? We don't, by the way. That's just, it's aspirational. But hopefully news like this will spark a lot more sellers to sign up and subscribe to the podcast.
Exactly.
How long does the QR code stay valid?
As long as it hasn't been scanned. It is an incentive for the buyer because theoretically they've already paid for the item through eBay.
Yeah.
The buyer wants to get their item as quickly as possible. It'll last for as long as they haven't scanned the QR code.
Does the addition of this special instance of tracking using the QR code, what does that tracking number look like? Is it eBay generated?
Correct. It is eBay generated. It just looks like a random set of numbers. But when you look at the tracking overlay in the eBay app, it'll show buyer has scanned at this time and all the tracking will be updated. So it'll actually say picked up instead of delivered.
When the code is scanned by the seller, mm-hmm. does mm-hmm. that is that like the final acceptance? Say the buyer then says, I want to return this item. It's not as described. Do they have a leg to stand on?
They would, because we're treating this transaction as any other eBay transaction. They would feel free to return the item per eBay's standards.
Right. But hopefully
they could even ship it back.
So that brings up an interesting question. What about cases where the buyer has picked up an item and then has decided later they want to return it? Does the seller have to go pick it up? And what if the buyer wants to return it and charge shipping? How does that work?
We're not messing with the returns process. So whatever the returns process is that the seller has put in place, that's going to be the return process that the buyer has to follow.
Okay. I assume that the return request rate for local pickup items is probably pretty low. I could be wrong, but I would assume that would be a low number.
I would hope that it's a low number. I know that INR rates are pretty high just because, you know, a buyer can go in and say that they haven't received the item just because there's no tracking information or delivery confirmation with that item. So they can just go ahead and say, oh, I haven't gotten my item. And now the seller is out of the item and out of their money, which is a double whammy for our sellers.
And this will give some seller protection then.
Correct.
It was delivered. It's more than a tracking. It's actually a delivery confirmation number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to add about this feature that sellers should know?
I think it's easy to use. And, you know, if you're not a fan of QR codes, I know a lot of people aren't, there is that 6-digit code that you can enter in manually through the app. We're looking to expand eventually maybe to D-Web and M-Web. But yeah, we're super excited to see this come out.
Oh, I didn't know this. So along with the QR code, there's actually a numerical code that if you don't want to scan, you can just type it into the seller's app.
Correct. Correct. And if you didn't want to give us permission for your camera, or if your camera isn't, you know, the latest and greatest camera on your phone, you can definitely just enter in the code. And then, you know, when we're looking towards what's happening right now with the whole quarantine and trying to stay 6 feet apart, this also enables you to still have a local pickup transaction and stay that far apart, because all you have to do is relay the numbers to the seller. They don't actually have to be within distance to scan the QR code. They just have to put the item down. Buyer can quickly grab it. Right. Just tell the
and then you're six, the seller to, what it is. 6 to 10 feet away. And hey, the number is 333-650.
Exactly.
So bring your bullhorn just in case they don't hear you.
Right? Yes. Yes.
Well, this is fantastic. What a wonderful solution. Very innovative solution to a longstanding problem. Thus the innovation team.
Correct. So I've been very fortunate to recently join this team. I joined in October, but this team has supported this project from its inception a year and a half ago. Yeah, it's crazy to be at this point of releasing this product. But I'm so happy and excited that finally come to that.
Will this be open to all sellers and buyers?
It'll be first open to U.S. sellers and buyers.
Sellers, okay.
We're going to try to see how that works. And then soon enough, we'll expand it to UK and Germany. I know that local pickup is very popular in those sites. So we're looking to expand to our big seven. So UK, DE, Australia, and then France, Italy, Spain.
Releases today, we hope, correct?
We hope it releases today, barring that everything has gone smoothly with releasing the new version of the app and all the testing has gone well. So,
and sellers will see it in the shipping area if they have this available to them?
Right. If you have a transaction that a buyer has selected local pickup for, you should be able to go into your app, look at that item through your My eBay selling page, and be able to open it. Right now, it says there's an arrange pickup banner in your My eBay selling page. You should be able to click that, and there should be a new title instead of mark as shipped. It should actually say scan to confirm pickup, and that'll open up the experience. Or you can click on the item directly, and there's a button that says scan to confirm pickup, and that's how you can open up that new experience.
And so sellers, pay attention to that. Hopefully by tonight, or if not by the end of the day, early tomorrow, you'll be able to start seeing this when you list a new listing. And I assume that once it's live, if you want to revive existing listings to add local pickup, this will then appear on those listings as well.
Correct. So it'll work on existing listings that have local pickup on them. It should work on existing transactions that have happened, just so that you can get that funnel closed off on your items.
Maggie, I want to thank you. This is really great news, and congratulations to you and the team for coming up with such a great solution to a longtime thorny problem with local pickup on eBay.
Thank you so much, Griff. This was so much fun.
Maggie Donalds is a software engineer on the eBay Innovations Program. Our first guest seller this week is well known to the eBay community. Her name is Lori Wong, and her eBay store Reflections of Trinity works to serve the needs of its community through e-commerce and local marketplace ministry. Over the past 9 years, she's been able to run and grow a healthy business, increasing sales and her ability to give back to her community every year. In 2015 alone, she distributed over 12,000 boxes of groceries. That's, by the way, 622,000 pounds of food to those in need in her community. In 2016, Lori was eBay Shine Award Grand Prize winner. She was awarded a $10,000 cash prize as well as a package of marketing tools and services to help her grow her eBay business. Welcome, Lori.
Hi there, Griff. How are you?
I'm doing okay, all things considered. How are you doing during this difficult time?
Oh my goodness. We have never seen busy like this. It's been unreal. Our need for food is has more than doubled. And thank God, our eBay business has also increased.
To talk about Reflections of Trinity, what you do is basically provide food and services for those who need them in your community.
Correct. We started 17 years ago with a brick and mortar thrift store, providing clothes and furniture, housewares for people that were in crisis. And then 8 years ago, we added the food pantry. Just to give you some updated figures, last year alone, we did over 1,500,000 pounds of food for our community.
That's a lot of vittles.
It is. And thanks to eBay, we're able to have some revenue to buy food.
Is the majority of food in the pantry donated, or do you have to purchase it?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, 99.9% of the food is purchased. We have organizations that'll do food drives for us at peak times like Thanksgiving or Christmas. But for the most part, we have to buy the food. Now, we get it much cheaper than you could get it because we're an agency of the Atlanta Community Food Bank, but we still have to purchase it.
Right. But you get good discounts because of buying in bulk and because it's for charity, I assume, correct?
Yes. Yes, correct.
I know you've heard this a lot, but I just want to reiterate it on my own. You're such an inspiration to so many of us who, especially during a time like now, trying to take care of ourselves, keep body and soul together, but also helping other people. What's it like running a business right now with having to shelter in place and all of the challenges and roadblocks that such an odd situation presents to every business?
Well, in our situation, we had to close our brick and mortar because of the shelter in place order for the state. And, you know, nobody was shopping, so it didn't make any sense to keep it open. That whole division is shut down. So our entire operation now is dependent completely on eBay. That puts a little bit of a stress on us because we've never had to operate like this before. That's number one. Number two, I wake up every morning very cognizant that at any given time, any of us could get sick because we're deemed essential services. So we're open. And we're serving the public. It's so important for me, and I think the personal stress for me is to make sure that my volunteers and my staff, that they're protected and that they're safe, because I don't think my soul could survive any one of them getting sick. That's an added stressful situation. And then thirdly is dealing with the uptake in needs. So just to give you an example, in the past 4 weeks, we've registered 354 new families for our program just in the last 4 weeks.
Wow.
Last week, Tuesday, I had to pull every eBay staff member and all of the staff had to go and serve food at the pantry because we didn't have enough volunteers to make it work. Everything is fluid. It changes every day. I've got to have my head in gear when I get up in the morning because it's new every day. Stress, but thank God we've got things in place to alleviate some of the financial hardship, eBay being the main thing.
Are you and your staff able to protect yourself adequately? I know that personal protection equipment is really rare right now and hard to find. Have you been able to find masks, gloves, and other things that you need in order to keep yourself safe while you're serving your community?
Absolutely. It was a daily ask there for a minute because obviously, and as it should be, the protective gear would go to the hospitals and those that are directly dealing with COVID patients first. But for those of us that are in the field, we have had people in our community that have stopped by, mostly with the fabric-made masks. By chance, we had a supply of gloves. That'll last us a couple of months anyway. We do have protective gear. We are being careful. Every volunteer is provided with protective gear. So far, so good.
When we started talking about a month ago about having Reflections of Trinity on the podcast, we were actually talking about a different sort of program that really piqued my interest as a past instructor for new sellers coming onto the site. And that was the entrepreneurship program that you started. Can you tell us a little bit about that program?
We've had a middle school serving with us at the pantry ever since we opened 8 years ago. We're part of their service component for a leadership program. It's called Men of Tap, and we have several teachers that have been serving with us for a long time. Well, last summer, one of the teachers had mentioned that they weren't sure where their budget was coming from for their summer program. And I said, you know, have you ever considered eBay? And from that conversation, things kind of snowballed. And I said, instead of just teaching teachers how to do eBay, why not teach the kids and let this be a program that helps them to become self-sufficient, even though some of them are as young as 11 years old. And before I knew it, we had a launch with 75 people in the room. We had 24 kids originally sign up, ages 11 through 17. And the Powder Springs Youth Entrepreneurship Program was born.
And how big is the program now? Has it grown since you started it?
Well, now because school is closed, the entrepreneurship program is closed.
Oh.
So, yeah, because with the kids, the program couldn't continue during COVID.
So it's just suspended for now.
So it's suspended for now, yes. But luckily, one of the students that's here with me right now, she turned 18 in January, even though she's still in high school. She is now actually a staff member of Reflections of Trinity. That's a wonderful serendipitous benefit.
Well, can we meet her?
Absolutely. So let me introduce you to Magali Cruz.
Welcome, Magali.
Thank you. So I started with Ms. Wong in November. I signed up for the program because I heard about it through my mom because my sister attends the middle school. And I've always had an interest in business. So I was like, why not start here? Plus, I get to help the community out. So I signed up and the program started. And so far, I've learned so many new things. And I honestly can say that I appreciate that so much. I went in not knowing anything about eBay. I had never shopped on there. I had never even been on there. I got to learn how to take pictures, how to do data entry, how to ship items, and how to do customer service. And I can honestly say that these are like really important skills because not only like Ms. Wong said, it has now given me a job. These are lifelong skills that I can, you know, use and utilize for my own benefit as well. I am really grateful because I know that most kids my age start working like at a fast food restaurant. And I was lucky enough to meet Ms. Wong and not only learn from her, but also she gave me the opportunity to work with her. So I am really grateful for that, you know, and especially during times like this where most people aren't working, I'm still lucky enough to work. I turned 18 in January and I did get a car. This has helped me make money because I am still working with her. So I do have the responsibility of helping my mom pay for my car. I am lucky to still have a job and continue to work right now.
So Magali, you work both for as a staff member on Reflections of Trinity. Do you also now sell on eBay to help subsidize your family's income?
No, I've actually been thinking about it, but I want to, when I like start that, I want to have something that I really like, enjoy to like sell. I've actually been thinking of opening my own store, but I've just been trying to brainstorm and save money up so I can buy enough things so I can start putting on eBay as well.
Lori, were you responsible for instruction during this class alone?
Not at all. I have a fantastic college student that is like a son to me now.
Is he there now?
He is. His name is Christopher Moultrie. So here's Chris.
Hi, Chris. Welcome to the podcast.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your role with Reflections of Trinity and the Powder Springs Entrepreneurship Program and how you got involved.
Okay, so I will start with my involvement with Reflections of Trinity. When I discovered Reflections of Trinity, it was my first year of college. Didn't really know what I wanted to do service-wise. I wasn't really involved prior to attending college. And one of my biggest goals was to be more involved in my community and just around. I actually discovered a need for volunteer for data entry. It was posted on our school's website, our school's volunteerism website. And I saw it and I was like, oh, this is data entry. This looks pretty cool. And I read a little bit about the organization, how they had a food pantry, how they pretty much serve their community. They have been in the community for over a decade. That's when I met Lori. I started off as a volunteer. She introduced me to eBay. And I'm going to tell you right now, when I saw eBay for the first time, I had no idea what it was.
Yeah, everyone starts from nothing at some point on eBay. So
yeah, I had no idea what I was doing, but she was patient with me. And she taught me how items were sourced, how to price it, how to list it, how to ship things out, how to handle disputes with customers, the whole nine yards. She taught me everything eBay. And let's see, I started in 2016. That's when I met Lori. I met Lori in the fall of 2016. We're in spring 2020 now. So it's been about 3.5 years. And now I have been employed as a staff member. Because like previously said, I was employed or I was brought on as a volunteer initially. She hired me as a staff member. And then now leading a small team here at the eBay division while Lori handles her other things, and really just grateful that she's invested so much in me and she's equipped me with so many lifelong skills. And I couldn't ask for a better person to look up to because she has been here for me and she supported me from the day she met me.
Listen, Griff, just in case you missed that, because he kind of glossed it over.
Yes.
He runs my eBay division.
Oh, he did gloss that over.
Yeah, he said so quickly it would have been easy to miss, but Chris runs it and he's an engineer major. He graduates this year and I'm telling you, I don't know what I'm going to do without him, but he literally runs our eBay division so that I can pay attention to the pressing needs of the pantry and COVID.
Lori, you've been many things, but you're also a mentor.
Well, that's that's one of the favorite things of doing, because, you know, at some point we've got to reach back. We've got to reach to the next generation, and we've got to give them the tools that they need to carry the baton. I wish I had more time to be an eBay evangelist to this generation, Chris's generation and Magali's generation, because e-commerce is just getting started. And these kids need the tools to move forward in e-commerce from an early age. You know, teaching them when they're adults, I think we've missed the bus on that. I think we need to start when they're younger.
At eBay, both inside and outside over the years, there have been various attempts at starting something that was a student entrepreneurship program. They never really got traction or grew legs, unfortunately. It sounds like you actually started making a success out of this. It's regrettable that it all had to be suspended during the pandemic. Are there plans to reopen or unsuspend the program for Powder Springs entrepreneurship once the pandemic has eased?
Yes, we just don't know what that's going to look like, because if things open up when school is over, then we're into the summer program. Yeah. So we're going to have to pivot. The answer is yes, / I don't know.
Yeah, of course. Well, none of us really know what's going to happen at this point.
Exactly. The teachers are all on board. The kids are eager. I've got tremendous local support from city council, our mayor, our city manager. I've got tremendous support from local schools. For people wanting the program, we've got complete support. As to what that's going to look like moving forward, I don't know.
Is it possible to move some or all of the program temporarily online? You know, everyone is using Zoom as an example application. They're also using other ones in order to stay connected. Lots of teachers, for example, are using software like Zoom or Skype to be able to communicate with their students. Is there a possibility of that?
Absolutely. The challenge is I'm one person. And right now, with the pantry changes that are happening in our community, it's taking up so much of my time that I just don't have the hours in the day to be able to execute that change, to move to Zoom and to make sure that all of the kids can log in. And it's a lot.
It
and
is.
I don't think that I would just have the time right now to do that. Maybe in the fall, but I'm not sure that I could do it right now.
It's certainly hope that you'll be able to resume the program. And I want to thank you for not just what you bring to eBay, but what you bring to your community and to every seller who's listening as a source of inspiration to help out the people around you in your community get through this difficult time. Magali and Chris, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule there to speak to us.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate you, you know, wanting to speak to us. And yeah, we're really thankful that you gave us enough time to, you know, talk to you about.
It's our pleasure, of course. And Chris, you as well.
Thank you so much, Jim. It was a pleasure being on here.
Now, I wish you both continued success. And of course, Lori, you know how I feel about you. Lori, it's just so wonderful that you took time to talk to us. And I know that your story for Reflections of Trinity and the Powder Springs Entrepreneurship Program will really resonate with our sellers. And who knows, maybe some sellers across the country will consider starting their own programs for their local communities as well.
Absolutely. I encourage any seller that has the bandwidth to be able to start a program like this to go ahead and dive deep, because as Magali said, you know, she's not working fast food. Her first job was doing eBay.
Yeah, she got an early step into the business world right out of the gate from school. That's excellent.
Yeah, right out of the gate. And with Chris will be the first one to tell you that he doesn't have to have a diet of ramen soup. You know, Chris, you can tell him yourself.
Oh, yeah. This has really, really been significant in assisting, paying for college, paying for food, just the basic necessities that some college students just aren't able to have. My university has over 35,000 students, and you can bet bottom dollar that some of those students are homeless and they're just not able to eat a nutritious diet. So just being able to have this opportunity while I'm in college, the knowledge and the additional knowledge to be able to, if I wasn't employed here, I had the knowledge to be able to sell on my own, and I know how to generate, for the most part, reliable source of income by selling on eBay. So
I want to thank you, all of you, Magali and Chris and Lori, for taking time to talk to us about Reflections of Trinity and the Powder Springs Entrepreneurship Program. Continued success, and we'll talk again in the coming months, I hope.
Okay, that sounds great, Griff. Hey, keep safe.
Yes, I'm not leaving the house.
Well, that's awesome. And eBay has been a lifeline for us here because God knows that with the store closed, this is our only source of income right now.
Yeah.
And we're very, very thankful.
Well, I want to thank you all. Now, you can learn more about Lori and her work, both with Reflections of Trinity and the organization and what she does on eBay. You can visit her page at reflectionsoftrinity.org. And you can visit her eBay store by searching for Reflections of Trinity, one word, through eBay search, or you can go to ebay.com/STR, that's for store, /Reflections of Trinity. She has thousands of items for sale. If you're looking for ways to help out with her charity, you can always buy something from her. There's lots of great stuff up there. So take a moment and see what she's got.
At the last eBay Upfront in Tampa, eBay Vice President of Seller Experience, Harry Temkin, spoke to sellers in attendance about the recent launch of a few new seller tools. One tool in particular is the Seller Initiated Offer, which has been enhanced recently. Here's Harry.
Offers to buyers has been our fastest growing product this year. All of you have engaged it tremendously. We're doing over, or I should say you, are doing over 1 million offers sent a day. And we are continuing to unleash, if you will, its capabilities. When we first launched it, it was designed to work with watchers only. And you could send up to 10 initiated offers, or 10 offers to buyers, to 10 watchers at once. And then you had to wait 48 hours. Since then, we have then added it to any item that is in cart, but they haven't checked out. We want to give you a way to push them over the edge. It's sitting in the cart, but they haven't checked out for some reason. The third that we've just implemented and is in ramp right now is what we call heavy browse. Anytime that a buyer clicks on your item more than 3 times, we take that as an indication of interest, and we will make it eligible for you to send them an initiated offer even though they haven't watched it. And then most recently that we announced in the seller update as well is we'll now let you send to 40 watchers in the first batch instead of 10. Because this is how powerful this tool is. It is really driving conversion for all of you.
Thanks, Harry, for that update on Seller Initiated Offer. Griff, I believe you have a seller on the line who is an avid user of the SIO feature.
Indeed, I do, Alan. Joining us now to talk about his experience with the Seller Initiated Offer feature, otherwise known in eBay speak as SIO, is eBay seller Spencer Applin. Welcome, Spencer.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Spencer, what's your user ID on eBay?
My user ID is 541-motorsports.
And you use seller-initiated offers.
I've been using it for a while now. I think I started on it pretty early on when they kind of had it in a beta version, had some really good success with it.
Has it really made a difference in your sales?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I can notice there's a noticeable bump whenever I use it. We've actually kind of saved our initiated offer that we send out for extended weekends, just because when we send those out on a Friday, we can't keep up with the orders on a Monday.
Oh.
So we sometimes we'll be like, okay, there's a postal holiday coming up. Let's do the initiated offers. So we have a little bit of a buffer time.
You have to have a kind of timing strategy in order to use this in a way that's not going to overwhelm you.
Exactly. And I mean, obviously we could do it during the week, but I've just found that initiating on like a Friday afternoon, and so give the customers that look during the week a chance to see the offer, and then the weekend spenders. And then that seemed to be our best method. But yeah, it definitely bumps sales up to where we wouldn't be able to normally ship out on a single day with everything we get.
Tell the audience what it is that you sell.
We sell auto parts, primarily used auto parts. We specialize in kind of the sportier cars that are performance-based.
Is there a particular strategy for sending the offers, for example, for pricing or percentage discount based on the category of the items? And does that change for you over time?
Usually what I'll do is more expensive items, we obviously aren't going to discount as much. So I do a combination of the actual price of the item and then how long it's been online. So if I look at stuff that's been online for 6+ months, I'll definitely send out more aggressive offers. It's kind of a combination of time on site and then the actual price of the item as far as what percentages.
When you're looking at sending offers, do you look at the number of watchers to make a determination?
Not really. I mean, some of our more expensive items, just because we have so many items that it'd be hard to look on a case-by-case basis. But when I'm setting up to send the offers, I usually sort price highest first. And if I see that there's, you know, 300 people watching one specific item, and it has like a good sales history or whatever, I might not reduce the price as much just because it's clear that it's probably going to sell. But other than that, I don't pay that much attention because usually when we submit offers, it'll be maybe on like 5,000 items and I'll do them all one big swoop.
Wow. It's a lot of offers to send out.
Yeah.
You mentioned that sometimes you do not send offers, for example, for high priced items. Are there other types of inventory for which you usually don't send offers?
Yeah, on our lower margin stuff, like when it comes to our used auto parts, the margins are much higher. We can handle the discount, but on some of our newer products or new products that don't have as good of a margin, we're probably not going to utilize that unless it's like dead inventory that we aren't drop shipping, that we just want to kind of unload.
Have you ever had any feedback from buyers to whom an offer was sent? And if so, what types of feedback have you heard?
Most responses that we get are just kind of like, hey, we've got your offer that you sent us. I have a quick question before I click buy it now. I would say that'd probably be the most common thing that we see. I haven't gotten any negative feedback about it. I know some sellers have kind of mentioned that they think it might kind of negatively impact stuff if people are constantly getting these, but I try to send the offers out in moderation and I haven't gotten anybody being like, why do you keep sending me these emails? I haven't gotten anything like that.
Yeah, I get offers a lot as a buyer. I'm a seller as well. And I don't find them annoying. I find them intriguing. I mean, if I'm considering the item and I just haven't taken the bite yet, the offer may be all it takes to get me to open my wallet and purchase the item.
Exactly.
You know, this is seller initiated offers, but do you use the best offer feature as well? Do you ever put an offer, best offer on any of your listings?
A little bit. Honestly, I have never been a fan of best offer. And obviously that's just my personal opinion, but I've always thought that it kind of opens the door for everybody to delay a purchase and wait for a submitted offer and try to get that lower price. So that was kind of my mindset is I'm not necessarily opposed to taking an offer, but I don't want it to just be the starting point is clearly he's going to take a lower price. And by the seller initiated offer, why I loved the idea so much and jumped on it immediately was because it was a way to keep my base pricing where it's at, but still provide a value when I want to and not have it be like assumed that they're going to get a discounted price on every order if they see the best offer.
You know, I never considered it that way, but you're right. If you put up a listing with a best offer, it's assumed that the price that you're asking is not the price that it's going to sell and before anything else happens. Yeah.
Yeah. And I base that off of my own purchasing on eBay. I don't know that I've ever bought a best offer item at full price. Never not submitted an offer. Hmm. So that's just kind of how I thought about it. And we do use best offer though. So generally what I do is as inventory gets to a certain age point, I'll just add best offer in there on top of different discounts I'll do to try to get rid of the inventory. The combination of markdown sales and best offer being enabled on those listings.
Right. So these are all possible tools in a larger promotional liquidation strategy that you use for selling on eBay. So I know you don't use best offer that often, Spencer, but when you do use it, do you ever employ the auto accept or auto decline features?
I've played with it a little bit. I had it set to auto decline basically any of the low ball offers, you know, $100 on a $200 item or something like that. But I found we didn't really get a whole lot of offers like that. So I don't have any automation settings and kind of just approach it at a case by case basis because sometimes if a part's been on for a really long time, I might take a lower offer than another one. So instead of going through and kind of setting all that up, I just kind of go on a case by case.
That makes sense. This is your chance to let our product team know what you think about the product in adding something to it. So are there any improvements or enhancements to the seller initiated offer program that you would like to see as features in a future release?
Yeah, on my items, everything we have, we offer free shipping on it. And I've found that a lot of customers will message us after initiated offers and say, hey, does the offer still include free shipping? So I think some way to make it a little bit clearer on that it's still free shipping with the offer would be helpful, just so cut down on the messaging time. Another thing that I get a lot from customers is message requests for bundling items. People typically will message me and say, hey, will you take, you know, 150 for these two items instead of just this one? And we can work it out that way. But I'd like to be able to tie it into the offer instead of sending them an offer that includes two items, even if the purchase only shows for one.
Yeah, that makes sense because it's confusing afterwards when you're trying to keep records of everything.
Exactly. Keeping records. And then I have had a few instances where the customer's like, well, I want it to show that I'm getting both to make sure that I'm getting both. So some way to, you know, like send the offer with two different item numbers tied in, some sort of feature like that would be very cool.
I think that's a great idea. And I have a suspicion that we've never thought of it before.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be specific to the seller initiated offers team, but just as a whole, the seller initiated offers sometimes as the starting point for sending a bulk offer for multiple items, because that gets the ball rolling. And then they're like, hey, can you add this on or add this on?
I can imagine a scenario for some sellers where if a buyer was to do that, they'd keep on adding stuff until eventually your entire inventory is being shipped to another, to a buyer.
That would be amazing. And I'd be completely okay with that.
Well, the only way it could ever happen is if we add a feature like that. So I'll make sure that our product team has heard. That was great input. Spencer, it's always a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Spencer Appland is a seller on eBay. We thank him very much for taking time out of his day to talk to us about seller-initiated offer.
Well, you have questions, and we hopefully have answers, right, Alan?
Sometimes. We try our best.
Sometimes.
No guarantees.
Now, these are questions that either come in through our voicemail at 888-723-4630. Unfortunately, none came through this week. But we do have a question that came in both to our podcast at ebay.com email address, and then another question that was left. There's a forum where you can leave questions on the podcast page at ebay.com/podcast. There's a little link where you can click and you can leave a question. And we sometimes pick them up there. So we have two questions. And the first one is from seller. The user ID is California Modern Fashions. He left a question, and I thought it would be wise for Alan to pretend he is the seller, and he can read the question.
Okay, here we go. Our store is California Modern Fashions. We sell a lot of fashion accessories, necklaces, etc. My question is, we sell a lot of items that have different variations. So example, same necklace in multiple colors. Do you recommend creating a new listing for each color because of the new item specifics, searching, filtering process? I just don't want to clutter up the eBay search results, but I also notice item sales declined since the item specifics rolled out. Thank you.
Well, good question. And it's interesting, his concern. He didn't want to mess up search, and we thank you for that concern, but I don't think he has to worry. From what he's saying, if his necklace design, for example, is the same for each of the variations, and the only variable being the color of the necklace or the color of the stones, or even the different type of stones. Say he had a silver necklace, and some of them had ruby, and some of them had sapphire, but they were basically the same design. In those cases, it really is the right choice to use the multi-variation option.
Definitely. Yeah, we encourage it. And what I've actually seen from sellers who utilize multivariation is they might actually get some cross sales. So somebody's looking at a certain color, they like that one, and they notice that you have a different variation, maybe a different size or slightly different color, and they might pick up an extra one. So yeah, we recommend it. It's good for search engine optimization. It's good buyer experience. So for your example, I would use multivariation.
Yeah, and the other benefit of using multivariation is every time you make a sale from that listing, it helps increase that sales lift in best match because of the sales and impression metric that you're gaining from that. So not only do you want to use the multivariation listing for that particular necklace in all its variable colors, but you want to keep that listing in the future. If you have more inventory available than you have listed in that listing, make sure you keep it active, so that you can continue to refresh the quantity of each of the colors and keep that listing going, because it's going to benefit your sales over time. I guess the only time, Alan, it would not be a wise idea, and this is a hard judgment call, but in the case of necklaces, is when there is a really strong difference between each of the necklaces. It's not just the color that's different, perhaps the style of the actual necklace itself, or some other variation that's outside of just something simple as a color variant.
Yeah, in those cases, we'd recommend creating separate listings.
Well, we hope, California Modern Fashions, that that helped answer your question. If not, let us know, and we'll do our best to dig a little deeper into it. And our next question comes from eBay user John_James_Allen. I'm assuming that's his name. And it was sent to our podcast at ebay.com mailbox. And this time, I'll read the question, and then we can discuss the answers. One of my favorite topics is about returns.
Oh, lovely.
So this is what John James Allen wrote. So a buyer gets an item that broke during shipping. it happens. The seller clicks on return the item and sends photos and clicks on return item and wants a refund or whatever. But it says in the message, please send me a replacement or a refund. Thanks. The system on the seller side waves, accept the return, refund the buyer, and your face all over the place, but there's no radio button for send the buyer a replacement, buy a new label, etc. It's quite a missing part of such a mature business process. And he wrote, I realize I use PayPal, buy a label, send the new tracking number and a message, and hope the buyer cancels the return because eBay will refund them anyway. Thanks, John Allen. So I had to do a little research on this before. And what I found was that you can select the option for offer a replacement when you're setting up either a business policy or a listing, but it's only available pre-listing. And most sellers today, I think, are probably using return policies.
And as a seller, if you realize now that you might want to include that on your listings, is that something that you can add into your listings right now by editing, or would you have to create brand new listings to,
no,
do,
you
to
can,
add in?
So if you discover that you're using return policies, some sellers aren't even aware they're doing this, but if you ever list an item and you have to select for returns or shipping or payment from a drop-down box as different policies, then you're set up for policies. And you can go to Seller Hub and go to the active listings page in Seller Hub. And on the left-hand side, there's a link there for business policies. And you can either create a separate new policy for returns that has all of your regular options, your return window, who pays for return shipping, blah, blah, blah. Is it free shipping, a free return? And then there's a little box there that you can check that says offer a replacement. So say you could use that option, or you could go in and edit all of your return policies so that, that's checked and it'll change on all the listings. But if you have inventory where sometimes you have an item that you could use as a replacement and it has to be an absolute identical item from what the buyer bought, and maybe some items you don't have that, then you would have to be discerning and select which listings you can check that box. So that's one way to do that. Yeah, it would be really helpful, I think. I have to admit.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
You go ahead, because I know what you're thinking.
Yeah, I think it would be really helpful to have that option available post-transaction.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's not. Sounds like you've done all the research. So what we'll do is we'll make sure we'll get that over to the right team that deals with this part of the site.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's not necessarily something that you would think of checking when you're creating your listings, or if you have listings that are old, you might have set it up at the start. So. Good news is you can go in and book edit your return policies and set it up. Just takes a little bit of work, but
yeah.
But boy, it would be helpful to have that in there after the sale.
Boy, I'll tell you, I've worked closely with the returns team and I've listened to sellers and I've gone through a few situations either as a witness to a friend seller or myself. The return process most of the time works pretty well, but there are some cases where it's just really frustrating. Like if you sell something to somebody outside of the United States and it's really difficult to go through that process of, for example, I offer free returns, so eBay doesn't generate a label for international sales. You have to negotiate with the buyer. Okay, so I need $5 to ship it back to you, and do I send it to you now or send it to you before? And there's so many variables that makes the system seem a little bit confusing. So yeah, there's a lot of things about the return process. It would be great if we could fix, and it's one of my pet projects, so I try to stay on top of that and let the rest of the team know that we really need to make this better. But yeah, for that, really consider all of your current listings if you have a replacement and you want to make that available as an option for the buyer. Again, the buyer chooses the option, whether it's a refund or a replacement. Make sure you've edited your return policies so you include that in there for at least a special return policy that you can apply to specific listings. Or if it's a matter of all your listings, you could offer a identical replacement, then edit them all.
Okay, fantastic. Do we have any more questions?
I'm checking, and that looks like all we have this week, but I don't want to sound ungrateful. We are super grateful. We got two questions. Two questions, Alan. Can you believe it?
Yeah, and one came in. John Allen is actually the name of my father-in-law. So thanks, John, for sending that in. I don't think it's the same one, but just thought I'd give him a shout out.
Well, if it isn't or it is, it doesn't matter because it's a legitimate concern, and we're happy that we were able to address it. If you want to send us your question or comment, remember, you can do so via the best way, via the phone line, which is 888-723-4630. And yes, it is a voicemail. You leave a message. And we'll either use the voice message as part of the question. And sometimes now what we've been doing, we just started doing this, is we'll arrange to call you and tape you while we're actually recording the segment for Q&A so that you can be with us live. But if you don't want to have your voice on the radio, maybe you're a shy person, can always do what, Alan?
You can always send an email to our very special dedicated email address. It's podcast@ebay.com, podcast@ebay.com. And I believe there's one other way of getting in contact with the show. You can navigate to ebay.com/podcast. You'll find a list of all of the podcast episodes, and there's a little widget on the right side of the page where you can submit feedback or a question through the community platform, and we'll pick it up there. So you've got phone, email, web form on the community. Three different ways.
We've given you three options to contact us. Certainly you have something to say or ask. We know you do.
And if you like spamming, if you want to increase your chances of getting the question on the show, drop it on each of the channels and we'll make sure we'll get it on the show.
Yeah, if somebody does all three, I'm going to send them a t-shirt. Oh, I can't take that back now. Hopefully next week we'll have more Q&A to answer. So do send us your questions, your comments.
We would love for you to be a part of the eBay for Business podcast by calling your question or comment into us on 888-723-4630.
You heard that right. 888-723-4630. And you can call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week. You can leave a question. You can leave a comment. And it will record on our message machine. We check them every day. In fact,
I
check them every hour. Are you kidding? I'm so desperate to get a call. If your question could be of value to other sellers, trust me, it'll be of value. We'll attempt to answer it here on the podcast.
We should play it cool rather than saying, hey, we're desperate. We'd be like, you know.
I can't play it cool. You know me.
That's true. Right. And if you prefer, you can always email the podcast at podcast@ebay.com. The special email address is podcast@ebay.com.
Okay, drum roll. I believe you have an announcement to make, Alan.
Yeah, that's right, Griff. Tough day for me today. Today is actually my last day working at eBay. You sound so shocked. Didn't you get the memo?
I'm clutching my pearls as we speak.
I can see you over Zoom clutching those pearls. Yeah, so recording this episode is literally the very last task that I'm going to carry out at eBay. And as you know, I've been working here for 10 years. I was only a young man when I joined. I had no gray hair. Now I have lots.
And now look at you.
Look at me now. I've had a ton of fantastic experiences along the way and just so appreciative of all of the opportunities that eBay has given me. You know, I started out on the phone lines, answering customer service questions. Then I moved into managing the UK community. And in 2016, as we've talked about on the show previously, I moved over to the US and I've been serving as the community manager for about 3.5 years. So just want to call out, have you to take this moment to thank sellers for all of the wonderful interactions we've had, both online, in person, at eBay Opens, at meetups, at trade conferences around the country. I've enjoyed connecting with you, sharing tips, tricks, commiserations, whatever it might be with you. And Griff, thank you for giving me the opportunity to join in the fun on the podcast. I think I've been doing this co-hosting gig for about a year now. Mm-hmm. And it's been a ton of fun. Obviously, taking over from Audrey, I had big shoes to fill, but you helped me along the way. And I hope the listeners were able to figure out half the stuff I was saying. I know with the Irish accent, that can be tricky sometimes.
I think they got used to it. I know I did.
They just slow the podcast down. You can do that where you put the speed down to half on the player. But yeah, I just want to thank everybody, Griff. Thank the listeners. Thank you. I've had such a blast working on the show. And all the listeners out there, keep on listening. I know I'll still be tuning in every week. eBay wouldn't do this show without you, and we wouldn't want to do this show without you. I'll miss this old place dearly, and eBay will always hold a special place in my heart.
And we'll all have a special place in our hearts for you, Alan. Best wishes and great success on your next journey and endeavor. And I do hope you'll check in with us. I know I had a great time working with you, and I'll miss you terribly. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. That means a lot. Well, enough with me. I suppose we'll wrap up the show.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank our guests this week, eBay sellers Spencer Apland and Laurie Wong and her teammates, Chris Mutrui and Malagai Cruz.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.